welcome to Genesis Metro. Let's give the Lord a round of applause this morning as we get started. I don't know how you can't clap after you just sang about God has allowed us to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Man, that is good God stuff. So we're going to be going on with our series. We talked about how it works. We talked about salvation. Then we talked about giving. This week we're going to talk about an awakening. What does it mean to have an awakening for God and toward God? In Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verses 14 through 16, it says that, O sleeper, why don't you awake? Oh, this is good. We got it right here. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Next verse. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Why? Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. If I could define for you what an awakening looks like, it would be that you would awaken to the fact that you only have one life. And the Bible says your life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while, then it vanishes away. And God, whenever you are awakened to His presence, whenever you are awakened to His purpose, then He says that you are able to squeeze the most out of this life. So this morning, if you aren't getting the absolute most out of what God has for you, then I would encourage you to listen. I'm going to give you the process this morning of how you can awaken to God's purpose for life. We're going to look specifically at the story of Jacob. Jacob was a guy that was had a very checkered past in the decisions that he had made, and we're going to find him in the midst of a moment where he's all alone, he's on the run, and he's on the run from his past, and he's in between his past and his future. And today, I really feel like, and this is the kind of the cool part that I know that you don't know, is that we were going to go a totally different direction with this week's message. And at the last second, when I say at the last second, Thursday, we made a decision. I asked the elders and the staff to pray with me about the direction we were going to take this morning's message, and we went a totally different direction. And so I say all that to say this, that I believe that God has a special message for some of you in here this morning, that we actually took a wild turn through a series of events that got us to this specific message for this specific morning. And so if there's an area in your life that you've fallen asleep in, if there's an area of your life where you're between something that you're ready to get rid of and you're wanting to move toward a preferred future, then I encourage you to listen this morning, because there's a very specific step in the awakening process that you have to have take place in order for you to move from your past to your future. Before we get into the text this morning, I thought we'd have a conversation starter. I don't know if all of you know this about me, but I love pranks. And some people in the YouTube world decided they would do me a favor and put together a compilation of waking people up in really creative ways. And so I thought we would watch this morning. And I hope that the message will be a less rude awakening for you this morning, but we can laugh at their expense. So let's watch this together. Those are fireworks tied to his leg. Those are mouse traps. Don't do this at home, teenagers. That makes my heart so happy. It just does. That first kid, you see his eyes, just like, you know, when people can't even talk, they're just frozen. I don't know what they were dreaming about, but now they're awakened to some foreign noise, and it's awesome. And so today, as we move into our text, Jacob was in a crossroads of his life, and the Bible says that he went through this awakening process. And I think that we can learn some key principles, some key aspects to his awakening today that if we applied to our lives, it could make a dramatic change. Literally, from when you leave here today, it could make a dramatic change about how you see the life that you're living. It says in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 17, that Jacob left Beersheba, which was his hometown, and went toward Haran, which is where his mother's people lived. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Now, I want to stop here and kind of dive into this just a little bit to set the tone for this morning's message. It says that he came to a certain place. And this is instructive for a couple of reasons. It actually had a name. If you read the whole chapter, the name of the city was Luz, and he was on the outside, which is kind of a desert place. And but to him, it was just a certain place. And what I want you to see in that was that whenever we're going through life and we're in between our past and our future, and we come to a place, that place might have a name to everyone else, but for us, it's just a certain place. It's just really no man's land. And so he was in the middle of nowhere, and to him, it didn't even have a title. And this morning, I think most of us can relate to being in these places that are nameless. They are phases, chapters, seasons of life that are bridges between our past and our future, but they are nameless in their identity to us. So he came to a certain place because the sun was setting. Now, as we read the rest of this in just a moment, I want you to bear the imagery in your mind that he's had to leave because of decisions he's made. We'll get into those in just a moment. And he's headed toward his future. But in this middle time, the sun was setting on his travel. And many of us can relate, if you've ever been on a long drive, sometimes you just say to yourself, you know what, we're going to travel until the sun goes down and we're going to find a place to stay. If you're like one of those ultra hiker type people, you might actually say, we're going to hike as far as we can. When it gets dark, we'll bunker down and we'll stay the night. This was as far as he was going to go in this chapter of his life. And that's the awesome thing that I want to share with you this morning. That maybe God has brought you to this place to get to the end of this chapter of your life. It says that he laid down that night and he went to bed because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, this is another thing that I thought was interesting. Jacob was prospectively going to be a wealthy man. And yet he finds himself alone, and he doesn't even have a pillow, and so he has to use a rock for a pillow. I'm not that outdoorsy, all right? I'm never going to use a rock as a pillow, I guess, unless I had to. But I would imagine that was pretty uncomfortable. Would you guys agree? Sleeping on a rock for a pillow? Probably uncomfortable. And so it says, as he went to sleep, verse 12, he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Now, I want you to remember that. Where was the Lord? Let's all say it together. Where was he? Was he below it? Or was he above it? Okay, so he was above it, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. Now, that might not mean anything to you if you don't know where Jacob's at. Jacob at this juncture doesn't have a wife, so he doesn't even have the prospect of having children. And God is telling him that he's going to have more generations than the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, what is that referring to? That is a messianic prophecy. He was saying, Jacob, I am going to use you to bring about the Messiah that is going to save the world. This was wrapped up in the dream that God was giving him. So he said, I'm going to bless you so that all the earth may be blessed. Verse 15. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Verse 16, here is the awakening process. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now I want you to look at this story before we get into the awakening process and kind of break it down step by step. I want you to know kind of a rule for Bible reading that will help you. Whenever you're reading the scriptures, if you want them to come alive, you have to always place yourself in the Bible. Put yourself in the passage and ask yourself, can I relate to this character? I saw Jacob in this story, and I had to kind of imagine myself being alone in the desert, sleeping on a rock for a pillow. And I thought to myself, doesn't God have a way of isolating us in order to get our attention so that he can speak to us, so that he can reveal things to us? I don't know, maybe this morning God has kind of gotten you into that place. Would you guys agree by show of hands that God has a way of getting our attention? But has God ever gotten your attention? Have you ever noticed that he has a very specific way that right when that happens, you are aware that God is trying to speak something to you? I mean, sometimes it's like a slap on the head. Sometimes it's just a gentle nudging. But isn't it amazing how we know? We know that we know that we know that it's God. And I thought about Jacob out here, and I had to ask myself, as he was laying there by himself in the middle of nowhere with uncertainty all around him, I wonder if Jacob had that moment of introspection where he said, how did I get here? Have you ever had any of those moments where you ask yourself that question? Like, how did we get here? I mean, where you were raised up, most of you are transplants to Frisco, Texas. How did you get here? I mean, that lovely person that's sitting to your right or to your left that you call your beloved, how did that happen? I mean, seriously, let's think about it. I mean, most of you guys, you got better than you possibly deserved, all right? Let's just be honest. I mean, if it wasn't God's hand on that situation, you would have never got that girl, okay? Way above your pay grade. And so as we consider these things, I thought as Jacob was laying down out there in the desert, don't you know that he had to ask himself, I came from wealth, I was blessed, I had everything going for me, and now I have nothing but a rock for a pillow. How did I get here? I mean, and we're going to find out there's two stories that happened that led Jacob to this moment, and they were negative. But before I get into those negative ones, it doesn't always have to be negative. Sometimes Carrie and I will be sitting around the table or having some pillow talk at night, and we'll be chatting. We're like, you know, how did we get to Frisco, Texas, have three kids, and, you know, pastoring a church that started from scratch, is now all grown up, and now our third service is filling up. We might either have to ship some of you to the first or start a fourth, but God is blessing us and our fellowship so tremendously, and we ask, how did we get here? This morning, I hope that as we look at Jacob's life and we unfold it, maybe you would have some introspection yourself and ask yourself, how did you get here? If it's going great for you right now, how did you get there? I guarantee you God got you there. And if you're in an in-between place between a past and a future, then this morning I want you to know something. Hear me in this, that there is a way to wake up and to get out of your past. And Jacob is going to demonstrate that to us. Because I think we can all relate to Jacob. I would love to say that everyone in here, you've just taken all right turns. And you, every place that you could have done it right, you did it right. You are awesome. You're perfect. You're successful. You're good looking. I wish we all had that going for us. But the truth of the matter is, we all know what it's like to make a couple of wrong turns and find ourselves, even in the midst of this group of people in here this morning, we could feel very isolated in some areas of our life. I want to tell you a way to wake up out of that. So in order to understand Jacob's story, in order to understand this dream that unfolds and the whole lesson of it, you need to know two stories that propelled him to this moment. Number one, when they were younger, he had a twin brother named Esau. Now, just to give you a frame of reference, the Bible says that Jacob was a smooth man, and I'm not talking about smooth talker, I'm talking like he wasn't very hairy, much like myself. Some people say I have a baby's body. And so here I am, a smooth person, and he was solitary, kind of refined to himself, not an outdoorsy kind of fellow. Now, on the other hand, we have a guy in our church named Robert Massey, and this is what he looks like. We call him the leprechaun. And so he's a hairy individual, and Esau was a hairy guy, and he was a hunter-gatherer type. Now, you could just imagine, that's a spear in his hand, there's a deer over there. Robert looks like the kind of guy that he's like, watcha, I can bring him down. And then he goes and eats him without even cooking him. And so that's the kind of guy Robert is. Let's take that down, that's very distracting and disturbing. So if you ever look what a half-naked leprechaun look like, that's what it is. And so you had Esau that was a hairy guy, you had Jacob that was a smooth dude, and one was a hunter-gatherer, one was a kind of introspective guy. And to top that all off, Isaac, the father of these two lads, these two twins, he kind of was into Esau. And Rebecca, the mom, was really into Jacob. And they kind of played favorites, and it's going to lead to destruction. And before I even get into that, parents, can I help you? Just one, this is free. It's not even in the sermon. But love your children uniquely, but equally. Uniquely, but equally. In other words, one love for one child won't work for another child. But that doesn't mean it's not equal in its love. So if you play favorites, you're setting yourself up for destruction. Let's go on. Is that an amen? Can I get an amen? What was that? Where were you at on that? That was good stuff. All right. So here we go. So Jacob and Esau. Jacob comes in one day, and they're young men, and he's been out hunting. He's been out sweating. He's tired. He's exhausted. He comes in. He says, Jacob, can you fix me something to eat? I'm about to die. Now, some of you have children in your family that are like this, right? They don't realize they eat every day more than enough food, but every time it comes mealtime, right? Some of you wives, you're married to husbands like this. I know that I get hangry. That's when you mix hunger and anger, hangry, all right? And so whenever you get hangry, what do? You're just like, I need food and I need it now. Can anybody else relate? Can I get a testimony in here? Okay. And so Esau comes in and he says, I'm hungry, I'm about to die. And Jacob is an opportunist. Jacob is an opportunist, sneaky, sneaky little sucker. And he says, sell me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of food. Sell me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of food. And Jacob, who is impetuous, or I'm sorry, Esau, who is impetuous, he says, you know what, who cares about my birthright? Yeah, sure, I'll give it to you. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Now, a birthright, that probably doesn't mean anything to you, but a birthright in their culture meant that you got over half of the inheritance that was supposed to be split in our culture would be split equally to each sibling. If you were the firstborn, you had the birthright, you got over 50% just to yourself. Here was Jacob taking advantage of his brother. I wonder, when we betray our own blood, is there something more lowly than that? You say, was that an isolated incident? No. As they got older, their father was older, and his eyesight, the Bible says, it began to dim, so he wasn't able to see very good. And he calls Esau, his favorite, in, and he says, son, would you go out and kill me something? I love the wild game that you take down. I'd love to have a good meal, and this will be one of my last meals before I die. And before I die, I want to eat this meal, and then I want to give you the blessing of Abraham. I want to pass this blessing upon you. So Esau leaves to go out and kill his father a meal. The Bible says that Rebecca overheard Isaac talking to Esau. And who was her favorite? Anybody? Anybody? Who was her favorite? Jacob. Does she want the blessing to go to Esau? No. It has to go to her little honey bunny. Yes, Jacob's going to get the blessing. And so she tells Jacob, quick, go get two goats, kill them, we'll prepare them, because your father's going to give the blessing to Esau, and I want it to go to you. Jacob said, wait a minute, he's going to know. I'm smooth, And Esau is hairy. And evidently he was so hairy, he was like rocking a man sweater, okay? I mean, he was a hair, like caveman hairy. And so his mom said, you know what? Don't worry about it. You just do what I tell you. Now, whenever we think about Jacob, he was always kind of tricking people. He's always swindling people. But notice who is pulling the strings. And we have to ask ourselves, does the apple fall too far from the tree? So whenever we are getting angry with our children, it's like, where do they get this personality from? Why do they do these things? You obviously know. It's your spouse. It's not you, I mean, right? It's your spouse. That's where they get it. And so Rebecca tells him, go out. They go in, they prepare the meal, they bring it in, and she takes the goat hair and puts it on his hands and on his neck. And his father, he says, Father, I've prepared for you a meal. It's Esau. And Isaac said, come closer. And he comes closer, and she even had put Esau's clothing on top of Jacob. And so he comes closer, and he smells the scent of Esau upon Jacob. And he says, you know what? You have the voice of Jacob, but you have the scent of Esau. And so he gives him the blessing, the covenant blessing. Esau comes in shortly thereafter, and what is he expecting? Anybody? The blessing. He comes in before his father. He says, Father, I've killed the game, I've prepared it, and now I'm ready for my blessing. And his father looks at him and says, I'm sorry. I've already given your blessing to Jacob. Anger welled up inside of Esau. He said, Father, do you not have any blessing? Do you not have one blessing for me? He said, Son, I will bless you, but ultimately you will serve your brother. The Bible says that Esau has a conversation with a servant, and he says to the servant, I will take comfort in this, that I will wait until my father dies, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. The Bible says his mother, Rebecca, once again, overhears the conversation. Now I want you to know something. Rebecca seems to be really good at overhearing things. Would you guys check up on that? I mean, like, she was all up in other people's business. Does anybody notice that? I mean, I don't know if that woman trait got passed on to some other women, but I mean, she was super good at overhearing side conversations. And so she tells Jacob, Esau is going to kill you. You have to run. So this morning's text is where we pick up the story. Jacob is on the run because his brother is going to kill him. So as we think about how did he get her, as he's laying down on that stone that night, he would have to know that the reason why he was there is because of all the wrong decisions that he had made. All of the mess ups, all of the mistakes had cost him everything that he had tried to manipulate, cajole, contrive, connive, and in order to get in his flesh, he had lost it all. He was alone. He's laying on a rock. And yet, hear the awesomeness of this. God gives him a dream. Now, I want you to know, if you took the time to read from Jacob's birth to this moment in the Bible, you would not find one scintilla of evidence to suggest to you that Jacob was a God-fearing man, that Jacob loved God, that Jacob worshiped God. And so I had to draw this conclusion. Why then did God give him a dream that he didn't deserve? And then I had to ask myself that question. Why did God give me a dream that I didn't deserve? And then I have to ask you that question. Why would God offer you a dream that you don't deserve? You see, many people are trapped in a theology, in a philosophy that says that you have to be good for God to love you. And the great thing I'm going to let you in on a secret this morning is that God doesn't love you because he's good. He loves you because he's God. That's an amazing truth this morning. He doesn't give you a dream because you deserved it, because you earned it, because you were better than someone sitting over there. He gives you a dream because he's God this morning. So it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. I'm here to let you know that he has a dream that he desires to give you this morning. So how do we receive the dream? Number one, four aspects to awakening. Number one, you have to wake up. That's pretty simplistic, right? It's hard to progress if you're not willing to wake up. Some of you right now, you are asleep. And you will readily realize this illustration. Have you ever been talking to your children and they are awake, but they are not there? Has anybody had this experience? Some of you are married to someone like that, right? Like they might, maybe it's the sporting season. I mean, the Holy of Holies is getting ready to kick off, which is called the NFL football season. And so sometimes somebody can be talking to me and I'm awake. I am cognizant, the brain is functioning, but I am not there. Can anybody relate to this, right? So what I'm trying to tell you is, in your marriage, some of you need to wake up before it's too late. If you don't wake up and start treating them and loving them the way that God called you to treat them and love them, you're going to blow it. When it comes to raising your children and aiming them at the way that they should go, some of you need to wake up and realize that you're going to have to dive down in there, maybe at a whole nother level, in order to grasp greatness and draw it out of your children, because it's not going to be easy to do. So this morning, I don't know what area of your life that God might be telling you to wake up in, but I bet there's all of us in here have some area in which we have blinders on, in which our vision is clouded, in which we are distracted. And God is saying this morning, wake up. I mean, time is flying by. You need to wake up if you're going to make the most out of the life that I've lent you. Understand, God has let you borrow time to breathe. He has let you borrow time for your heart to beat. He has let you borrow time to experience life, and he wants you to experience it to the fullest. So this morning, God says, wake up. The second thing that happened, it says that two things simultaneously occurred. He confessed. This is what he confessed. He said, God was here all the time, and I didn't know it. I mean, the second half is the startling part, right? God was there, and he didn't know it. Now, the thing that happened simultaneously is that when he wakes up, do you remember what he said? He said, this place is, anybody remember the word? Awesome. He said, this place is awesome. So put these two concepts together. Number one, he didn't know God was there. So God was with him, God was around him, but he didn't know it. And then once he knew it, his perspective changed. Now I have to ask a lot of questions. That's what I do. This is how we lead us to learning. When he woke up the next day, remember, desert, rock, pillow, alone. When he woke up the next day, had the scenery changed? No. Did the smell in the air change? No. Did the feel, did the barometer, did the temperature, did the climate, did the setting, did anything whatsoever in the physical look any different than when he went to bed? No. So how in the world, coming from the past that was full of mistakes, that was full of a mess, there may have been guilt, there was certainly regret, how in the world did he go to bed on one side, wake up the next day in the same environment with the same baggage still packed on his back and say, this place is awesome? What changed? The only variable that you can see changed was that he had the realization that God's presence was with him. Now I want you to unpack that this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I imagine a person that is going through a divorce. And I think to myself, they are in between their past and their future, and they're in that in-between phase. And I was thinking to myself, what if a person was walking through a divorce? How would this passage impact their life? Because they could go to bed on one side of misery and mess, and then in the midst of the dream, realize that God's presence was with them and wake up in the very same shoes that they went to sleep in, but all of a sudden have a different perspective and say, this place is awesome. Why is it awesome? Because God's presence is with me. No matter what you're going through, no matter how many wrong turns that you've made, if you could come to the realization that God's presence is available, that God's presence is with you, that He has a dream for your life. And it doesn't matter what you've done up to this point. That's your past. Literally, the sun was setting on his past and the dawn was rising on his future. And in between was a dream that revealed God's presence. This morning, if you could understand that God is all around you, and sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes you're even in church and you're not acknowledging God's presence in your life. Sometimes you're at work and you're not acknowledging God's presence. Sometimes you're at school and you're not acknowledging God's presence. How is He going to get you from your past to your future if you're unwilling to wake up and to be aware that His presence is all around you? This morning, His presence could make all the difference in your perspective. You could actually say, my life is awesome when it's in utter ruin, because you would know that His presence is with you. And He says, Jacob, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to bring you back. And when I bring you back, I'm going to make you better than when I found you. That's the awesome promise of God this morning, that if you would give Him your mess and trust Him with it, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've made a mistake, no matter how wrong turns you've made, this morning, His presence could change your entire perspective. And all of a sudden, you could say, I know it doesn't look good. From the outside, Jacob's life didn't look good right there. Nobody said, I want to be in Jacob's shoes. I want to be alone in the desert, sleeping on a rock for a pillow. No one said that. But in that moment, when he realized God's presence, he said, this is awesome. This is awesome, because I know he's going to take this life. And God said, I'm going to make it better, Jacob. I'm going to change you, and I'm going to make you better. The last point is, not only did his perspective change, but his understanding deepened. His understanding was extended and expanded. I want you to see this morning. Do you remember what he saw in the dream? Does anybody remember what he saw in the dream? Anybody? He saw angels, right? And the angels were ascending and what? Descending. And then there was someone sitting on top of the ladder. Does anybody remember who's sitting on top of the ladder? Remember? It was God, right? God was up there on top of the ladder. And then when he began to speak to Jacob, what did he speak? Does anybody remember what he told him? He said, I'm going to give you stuff, right? And ultimately, I'm going to do what to you? I'm going to bless you. Is that what he told him in the dream? Now, this was my aha moment. I mean, this is like, you know, been preaching a long time in my life. And yet, I never saw this. And I just want you to know, no matter how much you read the Bible, it's a living word, and God gives you new stuff all the time. This is your aha moment. I hope it hits you like it hit me. What was Jacob trying to get in his past? What did he steal from his brother? Does anybody remember? He stole his blessing. What was God offering him as he stood on top of the ladder, sit enthroned above in heaven? He said, Jacob, do you know what I have for you? I have a blessing. Now, what's the lesson that we need to learn here this morning? In your flesh, are you trying to steal, manipulate, contrive, connive, posture, position in order to get what God is saying? I am freely willing to give you. You don't have to earn my love, God says. You don't have to be good enough for me to accept you. He says, I stand in my rightful place above Jacob. And Jacob, the lesson, the aha moment was for him, God was telling Jacob, guess what? You're not God. You're not God. You can't procure your own blessing. You need me to be God. And he was telling Jacob, if you'll step aside, and if you'll humble yourself, and you'll let me sit in my rightful place, then I will take you out, and I will bring you back, and I will bless you beyond what you could possibly think or imagine. As I was reading that, this was my thought. Because see, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm transparent as I can be this morning. I'm a Jacob. In my life, I am constantly trying to think my way through everything. I'm constantly trying to come up with the best plan to achieve my ends and achieve my success. And I want to say, there's nothing wrong with planning. But inside of that plan, you have to have a big gap. A big gap that says, God, it's whatever you want. God, it's wherever you want us to go. God, it's whatever you want me to give. And if you don't have room for God in your plan, you're like Jacob. You're trying to obtain all these things in your life through your flesh without the Spirit. And the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. He showed Jacob there was more going on than he could possibly imagine. There was angels descending and angels descending, and that God sat on the throne, and that's where his rightful place was. This morning, in order for us to complete the picture, here's what I want us to do. I want you to realize that God was bringing something down today. Just like the angels were coming up and down, there was something coming down, and there's something that needs to go back up. As God beams down his message to you this morning, he's saying to you, wake up. He's saying, wake up. Wake up and let me be God. Instead of you taking your trying to manipulate the circumstances and trying to maneuver all the time, why don't you just let me be God? You'll never obtain in the flesh what God will give you willingly in the Spirit. So this morning, as he brings it down, I pray that we would let our worship, that we would let our prayers, we would allow our thanksgiving to rise back up to his throne, and that we would recognize him in his rightful place. Would you guys join us as we begin to worship? Would you stand? We're going to sing this song, Overcome. And I want you to know that God has allowed us to overcome through Jesus Christ, and that we have the opportunity this morning to wake up and realize that God's presence is all around us, and that that makes this place, that makes this moment instant awesome. And if you would receive it this morning, you could leave here. You might have walked here in the midst of a mess, but the sun is beginning to set on your mess. That your future, the sun is beginning to rise, and you are but one step away from overcoming your past. And that step is saying, God, thank you. God, I receive it. God, it's your glory and not mine. I quit, God, I quit. I quit trying to control, and God, I allow you to have it all. God, I surrender to your will. I surrender to your presence this morning.